This is Creek Talk, brought to you by Canyon Creek Apostolic Tabernacle. Talk about faith, family, and Christian living. I'm your host, Michael Flores. And this is our last Christmas podcast, and this will be our last podcast of the year. We'll continue again in the new year, so follow along. Here to tell our first Christmas story is Brother Josh Harden.
Bethlehem Pine, a cowboy Christmas story. I was camped out in the Dakota snow when Christmas Eve rolled around. Me and Slim and a dog named Flop, 3 days' ride from town. Not a tree in sight for 30 miles as we huddled in the draw. The chips ran out the day before, we was burning twisted straw. Oh, it was cold, I'm here to stay, and getting kind of scary. As we hunkered down in our bedrolls on that deserted, lonely prairie, Slim was convinced we'd never live to see the light of day. He shook my hand, scratched Flop's ear, and then commenced to pray. I have to admit, it got to me, and I was feeling mighty low. A frozen corpse out on the sage ain't the way I wanted to go. So I joined with Slim in divine entreat with a serious prayer too. Lord, we don't need all that much. Just a small miracle will do. The dry snow was a-blowing sideways when we first heard that sound. A stuttering trot and a scratching noise, something drug on the frozen ground. The dark outline of a long-eared mule, who smelled our puny flame, came dragging something across the snow and acting hugely lame. We scrambled out in the frigid storm to expect what we could not see and found a mule badly bleeding, still chained to an evergreen tree. Slim twitched his ear. I pulled the shackle. While the mule continued to croon, with salve and a half-clean flour sack, we doctored that fetlock wound. It was a 12-foot pine he chewed into, trying to set himself free. I was thanking the Lord answered our prayers and sent us cowboys a Christmas tree. The mule came from somewhere, Slim decreed, with hope upon his brow. Unhobbled, he'll know his way back home and lead us there somehow. We called him Star. It seemed to fit. He steered us to that stable. We didn't leave till daylight, though. It was as soon as the mule was able. The tree we branded Bethlehem Pine, and it burnt up hot and slow. It gave its life that we might live like the Savior so long ago. Your kin have symbols of Christmas with parties and presents at every turn. Just give me a mule who knows his way home and a cowboy Christmas tree that'll burn.
This is the Christmas Truce. On Christmas Eve in 1914, in the dank, muddy trenches on the Western Front of the First World War, a remarkable thing happened. It came to be called the Christmas Truce, and it remains one of the most storied and strangest moments of the Great War, or of any war in history. British machine gunner Bruce Barron's father, later a prominent cartoonist, wrote about it in his memoirs. Like most of his fellow infantrymen of the 1st Battalion, he was spending the holiday eve shivering in muck, trying to keep warm. He had spent a good part of the past few months fighting the Germans, and now he is in Belgium. He was crouched in a trench that stretched just 3 feet deep and 3 feet wide. His days and nights were marked by endless cycles of sleeplessness and fear and stale biscuits. "Here I was in this horrible clay cavity," Barron's father wrote. "Miles and miles from home, cold, wet through, and covered with mud. There didn't seem the slightest chance of leaving, except in an ambulance." At about 10 p.m., Barron's father noticed a noise. "I listened," he recalled. "Away across the field among the dark shadows beyond, I could hear the murmurs of voices." He turned to a fellow soldier in his trench and said, "Do you hear the Germans kicking up the racket over there?" "Yes," came the reply. "They've been doing it for some time." The Germans were singing carols as it was Christmas Eve in the darkness. Some of the British soldiers began to sing back. Suddenly, Barron's father recalled, we heard a confused shouting from the other side. We all stopped to listen. The shout came again. The voice was from an enemy soldier speaking in English with a strong German accent. He was saying, "Come over here." One of the British sergeants answered, "You come halfway, I come halfway." British and German soldiers meet in no man's land. What happened next in the years to come would stun the world and make history. Enemy soldiers began to climb nervously out of their trenches and to meet in the barbed wire field. no man's land that separated the armies. Normally, the British and Germans communicated across no man's land with streaming bullets, with only occasionally gentlemanly allowances to collect the dead. But now they were shaking hands, words of kindness. The soldiers traded songs, food, and drink, joining in spontaneous holiday party in the cold night. Baron's father could not believe his eyes. Here they were, the actual practical soldiers of the German army. There was not an atom of hate on either side. And it wasn't confined to that one battlefield. Starting on Christmas Eve, small pockets of French, German, Belgian, and British troops held impromptu ceasefires across the Western Front, with reports of some of the Eastern Fronts as well. Some accounts suggest a few of these unofficial truces remain in effect for days. For those who participated, it was surely a welcome break. When the war had begun just 6 months earlier, most soldiers figured it would be over quickly and they'd be home with their families in time for the holidays. Not only would the war drag on for 4 more years, but it proved to be the bloodiest conflict ever up to that time. The Industrial Revolution had made it possible to mass produce new and devastating tools for killing. By the time the winter approached in 1914 and the chills set in, the Western Front stretched hundreds of miles. Countless soldiers were living in misery in the trenches on the fronts while tens of thousands had already died. Descriptions of the Christmas truce appear in numerous diaries and letters of the time. One British soldier, a rifleman named Jay Reading, wrote a letter home to his wife describing his holiday experience in 1914. My company happened to be in the firing line on Christmas Eve, and it was my turn to go into the ruined house and remain there until 6:30 on Christmas morning. During the early part of the morning, the Germans started singing and shouting, all in good English, they shouted out. Are you the rifle brigade? Have you spare a bottle? If so, we will come halfway and you come the other half. Later on in that day, they came towards us, Reading described, and our chaps went out to meet them. I shook hands with some of them and they gave us cigarettes and cigars. We did not fire that day. Everything was so quiet, it seemed like a dream. Another British soldier named John Ferguson recalled in this way. Here we were laughing and chatting to men whom only a few hours before we were trying to kill. Other diaries and letters describe German soldiers using candles to light Christmas trees around the trenches. One German infantryman described how a British soldier set up a makeshift barbershop, charging Germans a few cigarettes each for a haircut. Other accounts describe vivid scenes of men helping enemy soldiers collect their dead, of which there were plenty. Today, a memorial stands in England's National Memorial Arboretum, commemorating the Christmas truce. It was dedicated by Prince William of England on the 100th anniversary in 2014. What stands out most today, however, are the memories of the soldiers themselves, preserved in their own penmanship. One rifleman of Britain's 3 Rifle Brigade recounted a German soldier saying, "Today we have peace. Tomorrow you fight for your country, and I fight for mine. Good luck." As for Britain's Bruce Baron's father, he summed up the distinct historical moment this way. Looking back on it all, I wouldn't have missed that unique and weird Christmas day for anything.